From Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, this is Hope for the Caregiver, the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. 65 million Americans right now serving as a family caregiver. How do you help them? What does it look like? It looks like this show. And how do we do it? Volume. That's the key. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do it with volume. But we do help. We equip those who are pushing the wheelchair, standing in the hospital room corner, taking care of a special needs child, back and forth to the hospital, back and forth to the nursing home, back and forth to everywhere. And we equip those folks to stay healthy and strong while they take care of someone who is not. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking for the first time you've heard this show across the country and you're thinking, are you kidding me? A show for caregivers? Really? Yeah, it is. This is it. And we are so glad that you're with us. We are on from Alaska to Jacksonville. We're literally across the country. And we are thrilled to have you with us. If you want to be on the show, it's very easy to do. It's not dangerous at all. It is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. And speaking of danger, here's the man who put the word care into precarious. He is. He's the Baron of the Board, the Sultan of the Sound, the Earl of Engineering. He is John Butler, the Count of Mighty Disco, everyone.
Speaking of volume, that's pretty much all I do. I just make sure volumes or volume levels are fine.
Volume. That's the key.
Absolutely. Well, and precarious. I like it.
Well, I haven't used that word before.
Really? Surely you have.
Don't call me Shirley. Don't call me Shirley.
Come
John.
On now.
I am Leslie Nielsen, one of my all-time favorites.
National treasure.
I modeled his hair.
Oh, you do? Yeah, well, yeah. Him or Steve Martin won.
Or Phil Donahue.
Oh.
But it's I'm really thrilled, John, to see you. Everything going all right in your life?
Oh, absolutely, sir. Just fantastic.
You look healthy, wealthy, and prosperous.
I don't know about all that.
Mel, the glass is a little dim between here and
there. I was going to say, it's a little bit fogged up, and, you know, I've got that, the Barbara Streisand fogged glass.
Get the Windex out. Yeah. Hey, we've got a lot to cover. Later on in the show, we'll be joined again by our regular visitor on this time with Tracy Maxfield, who's calling in from Canada.
She is just a delight, always.
A treasure for the show because she offers great advice for the family caregiver dealing with dementia. And she's a dementia care expert, and she'll be calling in a little bit later. She's our Canadian caregiver correspondent.
And so classy.
Canadian caregiver correspondent. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, it's very easy to do. We have folks that join us on that. And we film the show, and then we put it out on our YouTube channel. But all of those are Hope for the Caregiver. So Hope for the Caregiver on YouTube channel. Hope for the Caregiver is the podcast. Hope for the Caregiver is the Facebook page.
Well, and one of the things that's good about being a caregiver, consistency.
Well, that's what they tell me. Well. I was speaking, and I want to give a shout out to all the folks at Cone Health over in Greensboro, North Carolina. I spoke there Friday morning to their first ever Parkinson's symposium.
Okay.
And they had a neuropsychologist went on before me and was talking about all the things that are important to do when you're dealing with Parkinson's and other different things, to be regimented, to be organized, to not have messy desk. Everything she said, I was doing wrong.
Oh, no.
And I was like, well, shucks. You know, but
it's nice to have goals.
Now, that's for the folks living with Parkinson's. The caregivers, you know, we're going to look a little bit more spastic.
And, well, we don't argue with results. No, and if you can regiment the life of the one you're caring for.
Well, yeah. And you know, and I was writing, I've written an article that'll be coming out soon. And one of the things I said in this, you know, I refer to myself as, and other caregivers, we're high functioning multitaskers. Mm-hmm. And we are. But there's a point where multitasking really is an illusion because we're so fast at what we do, it makes us look like we're multitasking. But really, to be productive, we need to move away from multitasking and that tendency to do so and go with prioritizing rather than juggling.
This is something I read earlier. It speaks to the word that you were using, prioritize. when you're dealing with being a caregiver or anything in your life, if you can say things like, oh, I can't do that or whatever, let's try to rephrase that a little bit and say, well, it's not a priority right now, instead of I don't have time.
Well,
because you've got time for everything, but we need to prioritize our lives, and that can help you do
that. And that's
that.
A hard thing to do when you're getting assaulted, which brings us to our regularly scheduled feature of our caregiver tip of the day. Our caregiver tip of the day brought to you by the folks at AARP of Tennessee, AARP.org/TN. They have enormous amount of resources for a caregiver. Please go take a look at it. I mean, you really will be astonished what you can have, and it's for free.
You don't even have to be a member.
No, you just go. Take advantage of it. Glean from that. Why reinvent the wheel? They've got it. So that's about keeping – here's the caregiver tip of the day. God love you. The man who put the word care into precarious.
Hey.
Keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I think we as caregivers get so inundated with the crises du jour.
Ah.
And they're everywhere. They come at us from all kinds of places. And it seems like everything can be a little bit of a flashpoint. And it gets us off into rabbit trails and everything else. And we'll run off on this errand. And then at the end of the day, we wonder why we're so tired and nothing was done. I mean, nothing was done. And we're frustrated by that. And so what I'm learning, and this is just me, but I've got, you know, 3 decades into this. What I'm learning is find those high priority things that need to be dealt with right away. What is the immediate concern? And I think sometimes we caregivers tend to be so future minded. Well, we got to do this. We got to do this. We got to do this. Well, do we? Do we got to do it right now? Is that the main thing? Sometimes the main thing is for you and me to just stop and just take a breath, you know, and settle down for a minute and collect our thoughts. Because what happens is we push ourselves with such adrenaline and with such energy on it that we truly wear ourselves and others out around us. Now, I don't know that that's ever going to stop. But I think we can work towards this. I think we can move towards this and start making some progress on it. But the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So if I'm on the way to a doctor's office, for example, the main thing is to get to that doctor's office on time. Right there. That's my main thing right there. And I break it down to tasks that small sometimes. And I know that sounds a little elementary, and maybe it is.
Occasionally we need to be reminded of these things, though. Well, you say often that, you know, whenever you're presented with a dilemma or a decision or something like that, you often ask yourself, how does this help me take care of my wife?
I got it. My wife. My sister and I, we had them, she's going to be mad at me for saying this on the air.
Oh, no.
But, you know, she was talking to me about one time about, you know, end time events, eschatology, you know, and what's going to happen when this happens or whatever, you know, how does this work and so forth. And I said, she said, aren't you worried about this? I said, how does that help me take care of my wife with severe disabilities? I mean, you know, Jesus is going to come back when Jesus is going to come back. I ain't really got a vote in that particular election. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, that's – I just don't get that. I can't spend a lot of emotional energy and mental energy on that because it doesn't equip me right now to do the task at hand. And so one of the things I think as caregivers – again – to anybody else that's listening right now, just tuned in the show, and you're thinking, what are these people talking about? If you're a caregiver, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I speak caregiver fluently. I could read the phone book in caregiver, and you would know what I'm talking about. But if you're not a caregiver, it's not going to make much sense to you.
I'm going to need you to write that one down, by the way. I can read the phone book in caregiver.
I can read the phone book in caregiver, and you will know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're not a caregiver, you're not going to quite get it. But those of you who are doing this, and I'm not talking about doing this for a month. You know, I'll never forget that guy came up to me and he said, God love him, bless his heart. He came up and he said, I heard about your wife's story and I know exactly what you're going through. Oh, by the way, I didn't even give out the phone number. If you want to call on the show, 877-655-6755. Sorry about that. 877-655-6755. This is resonating with you. Please give us a call. But he said, I heard about your wife's story and I know exactly what you're going through. And I was stunned by that. And I thought, well, I didn't know anybody in this community knew it, much less, you know, I was just stunned. But
I don't know what I'm going through.
And you have to understand the resume here. I mean, Gracie's had 80 surgeries, both legs amputated, 35 years, 80, 90, 100 doctors, 12 hospitals, 7 different insurance companies, well over 10 million. And this guy said he knows exactly what we're going through. And he said, yeah, my wife sprained her ankle last month. I didn't know how to respond to that. I just looked at it with a level of incredulity. I said, bless your heart.
Oh, that's very Southern of
you. And I, God love you, but I just had to kind of walk away from that and just leave that conversation there. I mean,
And this is not digging the guy.
No,
the perspective is simply unavailable.
Right. And so what but caregivers, when I talk about caregivers, I'm talking about people that are doing this for a lengthy period of time that don't see any end to this issue. It's certainly not an end that looks good. And we've got to refocus on how we function in this. We've got, in order for us to keep our sanity and our wits about us, we've got to make a different path for ourselves in this journey, and that comes to prioritizing. It is so easy to get pulled off on all kinds of little trails, little tasks, little arguments, and if somebody comes and says, well, what do you think about this? You know how I respond? I wasn't thinking about it at all. that usually kind of causes people to stop for a moment in their tracks. They're not used to that. Everybody's got an opinion. Well, we all got opinions, but opinions don't help me better care for my wife with severe disabilities. That's the main thing. What do I need to do in order to better do that?
Well, and to that end, it's okay to not have a well thought out opinion about something that is unrelated to your particular journey. That's fine.
And even more okay is to not talk about it if it's not well thought out.
Exactly.
that's
the point. And that's when you do that, there is a little bit of recognition on the part of those of your conversational partner in those situations that, oh, they haven't really thought about this. This is not going to be productive, and we can talk about something else, hopefully.
But what is it Mark Twain said? Better to have, you know, people think
keep your mouth basically keep your mouth shut and don't prove that you're an idiot instead of open it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's better to have people think you're an idiot than to remove to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You know, and I think keep the main thing. Okay, let's focus as caregivers. Let's just do what's right in front of us to do. Do it the best we can and move to the next thing. And let's not try to kill ourselves trying to get it all done. Hey, this is Hope for the Caregiver, the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. I'm Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. If you want to be on the show, 877-655-6755, 877-655-6755. 855-6755. Hey, I got something, John.
Do you now?
First off, we got one of our listeners on Facebook Live said, hi, John.
Oh, hey. Hello, Facebook listener. How are you doing today?
You have a fan base, John.
Aww.
It's a very specific fan base.
Well, I think that's probably for the best.
we're thrilled to have you with us. Standing with Hope is one of the presenting sponsors of the show. You hear Gracie's commercial network going to Africa next month, and we are going to be doing our prosthetic limb ministry over there. We've started this years ago. Gracie envisioned this after she gave up her legs and said, you know what, I'm going to put legs on my fellow amputees. And so we're heading over there August the 17th, and you can help sponsor a team member by going out to standingwithhope.com and anywhere on the site, but or if you want to go right to the site with it and see the team, standingwithhope.com/team2018. Pretty easy. And sponsor one of these folks and go on for any amount of sponsorship. I'm going to send you something. You got to put your address in there, okay, when you do it. But for those of you watching, this is Seven Caregiver Landmines, and this is the brand new edition of this book that's not going to be available in bookstores until November. It'll be coming out there and be in gift shops and everywhere across the country. You will love this, and we'll send it to you. standingwithhope.com/team2018. I want to get to the phone calls in just a minute, but I also want to quickly do the other feature that we have this time, and it is one of my favorites. It is today's senior moment.
I don't need your rocking chair.
Today's senior moment brought to you by our friends at Morning Point Senior Living and Memory Care Center, morningpoint.com, and that's point with an E. And this is very simple. I got this for my mother yesterday. She's been going through a lot of health stuff for these last several months, and she's doing great. She's going to be coming home in about 2 weeks. But I heard her say this, that this is what they tell her at the rehab center, and she's really doing great. Call before you fall. Call before you fall.
Oh, nice.
There were like 200,000 emergency room visits in Tennessee alone last year for falls. So call before you fall. Do not try to do certain things on your own. Call for help to do this, okay? Now, you may not always be able to be in that position, but if you just kind of use this as a general rule of your life, don't put yourself in precarious situations where you could fall.
Precarious.
See, John put the word care into precarious. We said that at the beginning of the show, if you didn't hear, if you're just now joining it. See, that's what we do here. That's why I have a radio show, because I could weave in a word all the way through
show. There you go. Well, and this is one of those things, if you even find yourself questioning, can I do this? Just make a call.
Should I do this?
Yeah.
And so anyway, so that's our today's senior moment. John, do I have time to squeeze in a call before the bottom of the hour?
We got a pretty quick one. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. In Virginia, this is Edison. Is that right?
Yes. How do you do? How's it going? Yeah, I heard what you said a moment ago, but I don't beg to differ with you. I just I wanted to point out something. I took care of my mother for the last 3.5 years of her life. She had so many, many strokes, and she was just always it was hard, but it was after it happened, looking back, it's one of the greatest privileges I ever had taking care of her. But you said that sometimes people should just keep their mouth shut, like Mark Twain said. The Bible says that we should bear one another's burdens, share one, encourage. You know, we don't all have to be like Job, sitting there putting somebody down, talking about something we don't know. But sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of being an encourager. Now, I don't know what some things feel like or whatever, but, the book says we have not a high priest who is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. And I want to share that same grace and encouragement with somebody else. And through Jesus Christ, I can understand somebody's feeling and feel their pain. I don't have to literally be in that situation. So you want to pick at me or something?
No, I don't want to pick it. I think, if you could share grace and encouragement to somebody, you should always look for a way to share grace and encouragement. When you're sharing your opinion sometimes, then it becomes a judgment call of, do I really need to weigh in on this? Maybe sometimes I can, as Augustine said, the church father Augustine said, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. And sometimes our actions speak a lot louder than our voices do. And I think sometimes with me, I've found that I need to bite my tongue and learn to like the taste of blood before I just weigh in with my opinion. But sharing grace and encouragement is always a great thing to do. And Edison, by the way, how are you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How about you?
Well, I mean, I'm just precious. But you're not taking care of your mother anymore.
No, my mother passed away. My mother died in 2014, but I took care of my mother from 2001. And I went through, I was working 10, 12 hours a day at a job, coming home, and I'd go to sleep, and I'd probably get into bed about 9:45 and wake up at 1:15. She had to have shots in the morning, and she had to have therapy in the afternoon. Then I had to go to work and work a whole hard job. It was all right. It was hard. And nobody knew what I was going through, but, you know.
Well, we do, and I'm glad.
The Bible does talk about bearing, sharing one another's burdens.
They do indeed. But Edison, I'm up against a hard break here. I got to go to a commercial. I'm up against a hard break. Don't go away. Hang on. I'll keep you through the commercial, okay? Listen, this is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident, leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. I am so glad that you're with us. If you want to be on the show, 877-655-6755, 877-655-6755. We are thrilled to be leading the charge on helping strengthen the family caregiver. I want to just quickly touch base back to Edison, our last caller. You know, and I really appreciate that, because we do want to open our mouths to speak encouragement to folks. We want to be able to be a blessing to folks and speak into their pain and their heartache and their sorrow.
I mean, somebody might get a radio show out of it.
Well, that's true. we want to be wise about that. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." And that's the path that I think is a very good place. Proverbs 10:19, where words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And I love that script. And this is for me. This is what I've learned over the years, because I'm too quick to speak into stuff before I really have understood and listened. I've got two eyes, two ears, and one mouth, and I need to learn to use them accordingly so that I can use them wisely. All right, speaking of using wisely, guess what? We have our Canadian caregiver correspondent, our classy Canadian caregiver correspondent. That's what John has deemed you. And this is Tracy Maxfield.
Oh, no, I think the universe did that.
Well, that's stretching it, Pippa.
Oh, my goodness. We're bestowing titles now on a cosmic level. All right, Tracy?
Hello.
How you feeling?
Very hot. It's about 37 degrees here, which is, I don't know, about 98 there.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means, 37 degrees.
Celsius, so yeah, I'm thinking we're in the high 90s.
You Canadians with your funky terms.
I know.
And how many kilometers away?
I mean, I don't even know how to do the metric system and all that stuff. But I'm glad you called. I got a topic here because I encountered this with someone not too long ago, and I wanted you to just take a few moments to address it. Tracy brings 35-plus years as a dementia care specialist nursing. She has done this. She understands the journey, and she provides us with valuable tips for those of you living with someone with dementia. Now, let me explain a little bit about dementia real quick. Dementia doesn't necessarily mean you have Alzheimer's, but if you have Alzheimer's, you will have dementia. But dementia can be caused by a variety of different afflictions. So we have a lot of folks out there dealing with these issues, and sometimes these things that Tracy provides also extend into other issues like autism and so forth, where you have impairments. And so this one today, Tracy, I wanted you to just take us on a little bit of a journey here on what to do when somebody who has dementia becomes really agitated. How do you talk them back down out of the tree?
Okay, so I think the most important thing to remember is when anyone gets agitated, but especially for those people who are living with dementia, is it's an expression of an unmet need. So the anger or the agitation that you're seeing is because they are wanting something, but depending on what stage they are in the dementia, they may not actually be able to vocalize that to you or find the words. And so that's what becomes not only frustrating to the person living with dementia, but also to the caregiver. And so I think the first thing that the caregiver or anyone that may find themselves in the situation is they need to remain very calm themselves. Because if they start getting upset or frustrated or argue, that's only going to make the person worse because they're going to be reacting to what's happening. So remain very, very calm. And the first thing that you want to do with your loved one is to try and calm them. So you offer reassurance, a slight touch on the shoulder or on the arm. Depending on where you are, you've got to scan your environment. Immediately as you're seeing that, let's say your husband is becoming increasingly unsettled and agitated, you've got to look at the person but also scan the environment. Is it too noisy? Is it too stimulating? Have the lights gone down and it's too dark so they can't make out faces? They're seeing shadows. So first thing you want to do is calm the environment. Turn off any distractions. Make sure that there's plenty of light so they can see you and see what's going on. And then you offer them reassurance. How can I help you? You are safe. You obviously need something. So what is it that you need? They may try to tell you, and you obviously have to be very patient as you listen. But if they are unable to do that, then ask them to show you or ask them to point. Usually it's something that's very simple. It may be that they're hungry or they're thirsty or they want to use the washroom or maybe they have an incontinence issue and they need to be changed. They may be in pain. They may be constipated. There's so many things that you have to think. Are they feeling unwell? Did something just happen? Did somebody just come and visit or was outside or did they hear a siren? Something has triggered this and the person is now trying to make sense of all the stimuli that's just happened and they're trying to express that to the caregiver. So the caregiver needs to keep looking for cues. Maybe they can't find the washroom or the shoes are on the wrong feet. Sometimes it's something that's very simple, but you have to be really alert to kind of look for the cues. The most important thing is that you want to remove them to a calm place. So maybe take them into the dining room and sit down, or maybe take them to the kitchen, make them a nice cup of tea, put on some nice music, try and have a chat to distract them. And then try and figure out, okay, what is it? You can show them a cup of tea, a glass of water. They don't want that. Food. Kind of have a look. Okay, is their shirt buttoned up properly? they may be unable to put their belt on. It could be just the simplest little things. Or it could be that they're in a different environment. It wouldn't be uncommon if you suddenly took them to the doctor's office or the shopping mall, because it's a completely change of a safe routine that they're used to. So I would say the first thing is remain calm, move the person to a calm environment, keep reassuring them, and then give them something to drink, make a cup of tea, maybe put on some soothing music. And if you still can't get to what it is that's really bothering them, then try a distraction. And so that may be playing cards, going outside for a walk. Maybe the person has been home all day and is so bored that they actually want to go outside and look in the garden, or maybe just go for a short walk and get fresh air. And so it's the little things like that that they will then calm down. And as they start to relax and are calmer, you may then be able to try and get to the bottom of what it was that had just caused this little trigger.
You know, these are just wonderful things, Tracy, that you're offering here. And I was writing them all down while you do it. You know, I do take notes, Tracy. I just wanted you to know.
I know you do.
John does it.
But with this just bear trap of a mind, you know.
Bear trap of a mind. Oh.
Well, this is. I will say this. I bet Tracy makes a fantastic cup of tea, all right? And I just, you know, that's
I'm a brick.
Yeah, there
of
you
course.
Go. Come on. Yeah. Well, my aunt is from England, and just it's you guys just wonderful tea, just fantastic. Yeah.
Gracie likes sweet tea, but you don't have that in Canada, do you?
No, and that's what I miss, because in Britain, going to people's homes, as soon as you walked in the door, everyone offered you a cup of tea, and I think that's what's missing in most communities now, because you immediately make that connection when you can sit down with people and visit over a cup of tea. It promotes that calm environment where you're more willing to share and just have that relationship, that social inclusion that we need.
Well, I grew up when we didn't offer a cup of tea where I grew up. We offered a glass of tea and a piece of pound cake.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
That's thus explaining the level of diabetes here in the South.
Well, but all right. Well, no. Also, we can have sweet tea. We just put some maple syrup in it, right? I mean,
why would you put maple syrup?
She's up in Canada, Peter.
No. That goes against the laws of nature. The book of Proverbs says there are several things that nature can't abide, and that's one of them. That's like people putting syrup on their grits. It ought to be outlawed. All right, so you had the number one thing. If you got a dementia patient who is struggling and they become agitated, I'm going to go back to the top of the list. I just want to kind of review this quickly for those who are just now joining in on the show. 877, by the way, 877-655-6755. We're talking with Tracy Maxfield, dementia care nurse expert, been doing this for 35 years. And if you're watching on Facebook Live as well, let me just kind of give the rundown. So if it's an expression of an unmet need. That's the first thing you realize. And for us as caregivers, just to stay calm. Now, the easiest way for us to stay calm is to take a the fastest way, is take a deep breath, 4 seconds in, 8 seconds out, and slow ourselves down. And let's not try to fix everything, but let's be aware. And I like what you said there. Look, we got to play a little bit of detective, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because they can't always tell us.
Absolutely. And so you've got to look for the cues. You've got to scan the person, and you scan your environment.
I think that's probably the critical place. Scan the person. Scan the environment. Look at everything from the shoes to the belt to the lights to the music. You know, I remember I asked a lady whose son has autism, and I said, if you could say one thing to pastors around the country about churches and autism friendly, I said, what would it be? And she said, hands down, turn the music down, turn the lights down in the foyer. Just turn stuff down, you know, don't make it. And I think that's going to apply across the board to so many different types of impairments that we have all this stimuli going on, and it can really overload. And you've said this before, Tracy, when you talk, they don't have the ability to process these things like you and I do.
And Not at all. And that promotes their anxiety and confusion and their fear. as their brain is trying to make sense of what's going on, what's all this. And so,
So that agitation is really an expression of fear, isn't it? Oftentimes.
It's fear. It could be an expression of pain, of hunger, of just feeling uncomfortable, or anxiety. It could be so many little things, but they're all so closely linked, because once you trigger one thing, everything kind of follows on then, as they become more and more anxious because they're needing this need to be met and no one is understanding them. And for them, that's very, very hard, because they get so frustrated when they're trying to explain or show you or point out. And so that's why, as caregivers, you guys have to be Sherlock Holmes. You really, really do. And it's look at the person, look at your loved one, look at the environment, take your cues from that, calm the environment, reassure the person, and then either whatever it is that they need, you can take care of them. Things will settle. Otherwise, move them and redirect them until you can figure out what it is that's just been happening.
That's just awesome, Tracy. As always, you astound us with just the most concise way of saying the practical and the obvious. There's a quote a friend of mine told me, the obvious becomes the obvious right before it becomes obvious.
And obviously,
and I just love that.
Does.
And so, I mean, these things
She was quick. She's like, obviously.
I know. Well, oh, man. She's Canadian. She is Canadian. And they have to be quick up there. But these are obvious things, yes, but we don't think about it cohesively. And as we deal with these, we just constantly react. And what Tracy's encourages all of us to do, and this applies whether you're a caregiver or not, respond, don't react. Respond, don't react. If we make it worse, you know, how's that helpful to anybody else? If we start spazzing out and everything ourselves, and I know that's easy to do, and I'm the king of that, and I don't need my wife to chime in right now because she's watching on Facebook Live, and she'll probably chime in and says, yes, you are the king of that.
Is she wrong?
No, she's not wrong. She's never wrong about that. But that doesn't mean it needs to be reaffirmed. Hey, listen, Tracy Maxfield, our classy Canadian caregiver correspondent, TracyMaxfield.com. Thank you, by the way, Tracy, for having your website up there.
And thank you.
It only took you 6 months, but you did it. And then next month when you call in, I think it'll be on the 25th, I think, of August, right? We need to push it back to 25th because I'll be in Africa on the normal day.
Okay, no problem.
So we'll work that out, but I'll be back from Africa with Standing With Hope to do that. But Tracy, thank you so much for brilliant, brilliant words for us today, okay?
Thank you. You guys have a good week.
All right, we'll see you. Hey, this is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. We got more to go. Don't go away.
Some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing With Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man.
Rocket Welcome back man. To the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I can't think of that song. I'm thinking of Kim Jong-un. I'm sorry, John.
Man, I wasn't trying to be timely. All right.
Believe me, Rocket Man. Believe me. You know, what's with the haircut? Mr. President, I was going to
ask you the same thing, man. Oh. By the way, you mentioned, so to bring it back, we always do this in the last segment anyway, is we talk about the things that we talked. We do a little bit of a recap. And the thing that you talked about for today's senior moment was keep the main thing the main thing. And I thought you were trying to tell me to get another haircut.
No, I would never dream of that.
Oh, thank you.
John, I don't have the zoning or clearance for that sort of command.
Above your pay grade.
Yeah, way above. Hey, this is Hope for the Caregiver, the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We're glad you're with us. 877-655-6755 if you want to be on the show. We did talk – let me go through the list here today of what we talked about, because if those of you just now joining us, and if you're watching on Facebook Live, we love having that as well. It's Hope for the Caregiver on Facebook Live. Our Twitter is Hope the number 4 Caregiver. YouTube channel, Hope for the Caregiver. Podcast is free, Hope for the Caregiver. I kind of went with the theme there.
Well, consistency or unoriginality.
Let's claim consistency. Let's land on unoriginality.
Okay.
All right. So in our caregiver tip of the day that was earlier today, we talked about what did we talk about, John?
It's been such a long
hour. We talked about prioritizing.
Yes, we did.
We talked about keeping the main thing the main thing. That's the main thing. It's so easy to become distracted. And as I just amply demonstrated, it's so easy to become distracted. And I get that. And you're not going to get this perfect. Please don't put that kind of pressure on yourself. And please don't expect that from me, because I'm not on some type of mountaintop dispensing sage-like wisdom as if I own this. I'm speaking to myself in this so that I will be reminded, because I have caregiver amnesia, and I will forget everything that I learned and have to relearn it again. But that's the whole point. We're growing. It's not a one-and-done issue. That's dealing with insurance companies. That's the part about caregiving that's like learning how to give an injection or learning how to deal with a doctor. So that's a one-and-done issue. Once you got it, you got it. But these other issues, they have to be reaffirmed on a regular basis. And then we had our today's senior moment, call before you fall. Just call for help, okay? Don't try to think through that. And then Tracy Maxfield's part, you just heard that. It was just phenomenal about how to help people with dementia who are getting agitated. You have to be a little bit of a detective. You have to look at your environment, scan your loved one, scan the environment. And so those are the things today. That's what we do at this show, is we're bringing you a lot of practical help. And I need your help on something. Next month, as you've been hearing through, I'm going over to Ghana with a team of six. Gracie is going to go back with us for the first time in 8 years. Her health deteriorated horribly after her last trip. It had nothing to do with the trip. It's just she just went through a lot of issues, and we didn't know she was going to live, much less be able to go back to Ghana. But she's going back with us, and as well as some other wonderful people. I'd like for you to go out and take a look at them at standingwithhope.com/team2018 and see how you can participate in this. We collect used prosthetic limbs from all over the country. They go to a local prison run by CoreCivic here in Middle Tennessee, and inmates volunteer to disassemble these for us so we can recycle all the parts that can be recycled. Knees, feet, pylon, adapters, screws, connectors, all that kind of stuff can be recycled. And then we'll purchase more items and take all of that, ship all of it over to West Africa, where we teach and equip local workers on how to build quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. And we do all this to share the gospel. It's a unique ministry. Gracie is the only double amputee woman in the world doing this. And it's an extraordinary journey, and we're looking forward to being a part of this. And we would love for you to help. And if you do, I tell you what, I'll do this. I've got this, Seven Caregiver Landmines. It will not be available in bookstores. It's the new edition of this that will be available in November. I'll send you one now. For whatever you want to do to sponsor this team, but we need your help to go over there and let's give the gift that keeps on walking. It's a great gift. Hey, there will be more available later on. We'll put the podcast out. Hope for the Caregiver. You'll have all this available to you. And thank you. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for being a part of what we do. And we'll see you next week. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. Today's a great day to start being healthy because healthy caregivers make better caregivers. We'll see you next week.